Hey guys, welcome to another Marvel podcast. I'm your host, Drew Gretch. If this is your first time listening to the show, because I know there are going to be a lot of new listeners this weekend, with the movie coming out, Eternals, so welcome. Welcome, welcome. I'm very happy to have you here. I'm seeing Eternals today. This first part is completely spoiler-free. Basically, what we do here, this is the same sort of thing we did with Black Widow, with Shang-Chi, with Let There Be Carnage, is the first part of this podcast is going to be my thoughts going into Eternals. Now, with those three movies, it was like literally like, stop recording, drive to the theater. I'm actually not seeing Eternals throughout 3.5 hours, but I'm going to be super, super busy for those next 3.5 hours, or I'm not going to have time to record, so I'm doing it now. And the second half of the show is going to be my spoiler-filled thoughts on the movie. So, going into Eternals, I've made no secret. This movie is sort of, I mean, the only one, like, looking at Marvel's slate of movies, this and Deadpool 3 also, but this movie is really the only one with a release date that's been officially confirmed. We know that Deadpool 3 is happening, but it's not been like officially confirmed. Like, Kevin Feige's not mentioned Deadpool 3, I don't think, in like a Disney Investor Day type presentation. But anyway, it doesn't have a date on it, so I'm not going to count it here. But we know what's happening. It's in development. Probably 2024 is my guess for Deadpool. But this movie is really the only one that I have a ton of anticipation for that's not like, oh my god, I'm seeing a new Marvel movie in 2 days. Because I had that for Black Widow. I had that for Shang-Chi. I'm going to have that for No Way Home. But this movie is one I've actually been really excited for, because I've been reading some of the Eternals comics during COVID and stuff. So and I read the first issue of Jack Kirby's run about 2 years ago, a little bit over 2 years ago, and it immediately became my most anticipated movie from the MCU. Because of how dense the story is, how mythological and expansive and epic the story is, but also because I know what Chloe Zhao is capable of as a filmmaker. Nomadland is one of the greatest movies. Nomadland is in my top 10 of all time. I love Nomadland. And it's my number 2 for the year. It's behind Quiet Place Part 2. Quiet Place Part 2 is still the best movie I've seen this year. But I love the directing style of Nomadland. So I'm really excited to see what happens and how she brings that to the MCU. Another thing, and going off the critic reviews and sort of the audience reaction I've been seeing today, and again, this first part completely spoiler-free, I do not know if I'm going to like this movie or not. I really don't know, because a lot of the things that I'm seeing from critics and fans is, you know, a lot of them are citing things that I would count as positives, and a lot of them are citing things that I would count as negatives. I'm not going to get into those now because those could be considered spoilers. Not actual spoilers, but some people who are more sensitive to spoilers could perceive them that way. And I'll go into what those are in the spoiler-filled part, if I remember it, in, well, it's going to be like seven hours from now when I record that part of the podcast. But I don't know what I don't know if I'm going to like it. I don't know. I really am curious to see if my sister likes, because I'm seeing a movie with my sister tonight. But we got a packed theater for IMAX. So excited for that. I'm going to be seeing V again on Saturday night. But yeah, really, I'm just trying to think. I don't have any predictions. I do not have any predictions going into this movie. Because for me, with Marvel things, a lot of predictions come from just, like, who's going to die? It's just going to be, like, who's going to die, who's going to live, who's going to make it out of here? And really, those types of questions stem from caring about those characters. We could predict that Tony Stark would die in Avengers Endgame because it's always been the story of Tony Stark. It's always been, first and foremost, the story of Tony Stark in the MCU. Steve Rogers is a close second and Thor then a close third, but it was always the story of Tony Stark. So, we don't know any of these characters in the MCU. We don't know any of those characters in the MCU so far. I mean, we're going to know them tonight. We will know them tonight, but I'm just excited. I'm just excited. This movie is the type of sprawling epic that I really love in cinema. The Lord of the Rings. I know this is divisive for some people, but Zack Snyder's Justice League, I love the Snyder Cut. I love that movie. Yes, it has problems. It's a little long. It is a little long, but I love the Snyder Cut. So there are, but you know, characters. I've heard that Chloe Zhao does an excellent job of developing all 10 characters and introducing, of all 10 Eternals and introducing Dane Whitman's Black Knight as well. But I've also heard people say that the characters are not developed very well. So I'm really interested to see what side of that I fall on. I'm assuming I'm going to fall on sort of the side of like, yeah, you know, you got like five or six of them are developed really well, but then the rest of them just aren't. They're just not given the screen time. But, you know, this movie is just over 2.5 hours. A lot can happen in 2.5 hours. I think the full runtime was like 2 hours and 37 minutes. So, I don't know. I just cannot wait to see this movie tonight. You guys just check my Twitter. Just keep refreshing the Twitter and you can just see what my thoughts on the movie will. Well, actually, that won't matter because by the time you hear this, the whole podcast will be out and my tweet will, of course, be out. Because I usually make my tweet reaction as soon as I walk out of the theater. But yeah, Eternals tonight. I really can't think of anything else I gotta say going into the movie. Other than, yeah, there's really like nothing I can think of. I'm just expecting a huge sprawling story. I've also heard the story maybe doesn't work as well in some places. I've heard from some people the movie gets better on a second viewing. You know, I hope that's true because I think every movie should get better on second viewing. Be a Spider-Man Homecoming, not a Black Panther. Because Black Panther is a great movie the first two or three times you see it. And then I feel like Black Panther is a movie that doesn't really hold that rewatchability. And Black Panther is still a great movie. Still a great movie. It's just, for me, rewatchability is so incredibly important. And I don't feel like Black Panther has that. Whereas Spider-Man Homecoming, I do believe, is the most rewatchable movie in the MCU. But that's enough for that. All right. I'm going to count down from three. And then there will be my Eternals spoiler free at first. I'm going to stay spoiler free for like a minute or two. And then I'm going to get into full spoilers for Eternals. 3, 2, 1. Pause, I guess. I don't know. I'm going to see Eternals. Okay, so I've just gotten back from seeing Eternals. I'm going to say spoiler-free for the first few minutes, and then I'm going to get into full spoilers. If you've seen what I put on Twitter, you already know how I feel about this movie. Eternals is absolutely everything I wanted it to be and more. And this is a movie that not everyone is going to love. Not everyone's going to love Eternals. Not everyone is even going to like it, this movie. But it's a film that worked for me because the characters felt real. They felt human. And I think that in this movie, more than anything else in the MCU, except for maybe Thor, you need the Eternals to feel human. They need to feel human, because otherwise, they're just gods. They're just gods among men, which is something I think that the DC does a lot. And by the way, we'll talk about those references in a second. We'll talk about those references when we get into spoilers. But the characters were real. I'm going to say this. My biggest problem with Eternals is the IMAX. The IMAX is absolutely my biggest problem with this movie. That and the Deviants were so incredibly useless. The Deviants did not do anything. They were worse than Malekith. The Deviants were worse than Malekith. Because at least with Malekith, like, the aesthetic looked cool. You know, like, he had the aesthetic there that looked interesting. But they were just so... I think even calling the Deviants one-dimensional would be overstating it. Like, I had a big, big problem with these villains. Big problem with it. The IMAX just kept changing. It kept changing. Like, it just took me out of the movie so much. Because one scene, you have, like, and the whole movie's like this. It's not just, like, the big, like, action scenes or where we see Arishem, the Celestial. But the movie just keeps transitioning in and out from IMAX and the standard widescreen. And it takes you out of it. It really takes you out of it. I don't think I'll be seeing Eternals in IMAX again. When I go on Saturday, I'm probably just going to do the regular screen. I might do the Dolby Atmos. But I will absolutely not be seeing it in IMAX. Because the IMAX just took me out of the movie so much. But let's get into the actual Eternals themselves. There's one choice that a character makes at the end of the movie. I'm going to get into this in spoilers. That felt so out of left field. And just... It was just like... Really? This is how you're going to react to this? You're going to do that? I thought that was really dumb. I personally... feel that the character Druig, he was my favorite. And I thought he was going to be my least favorite, actually. Just because, like, I don't know. I just didn't really think I was going to like his character all that much. But I found him to, like, ask those, like, moral questions of, you know, we have these abilities, and I'm not going to get into specifics or spoilers here, but he's like, there's a lot of ethical questions. Like, we have these abilities, and we don't do anything to help. Why are we here? What's our purpose? I just can't stand for this. And, like, that was really interesting, and I liked that a whole lot. I also really liked the character of Kingo, played by Kumail Nanjiani. He was great. He was really, really funny. Yeah, but I mean, really, I liked all the Eternals. Except for a few. But they all had great characterization. They really did, except for one. And I'll get into that one in the spoiler talk. Which really, I think that's really all I gotta say about spoiler talk. This movie visually is stunning. Chloe Zhao has such an incredible visual eye. She has such an incredible visual eye. And I love it a whole lot. Whole lot. So I'm going to move into some... and Dane Whitman's really great. Black Knight's awesome. We don't see him in the Black Knight suit in this movie like I thought we would. Because remember, my theory was that I came up with Yvonne a couple months back. Was like we see in the trailers that one shot of like the 1500s. We see that knight sort of like just kill people inside the Eternal City. And then my theory... with Yvonne was, okay, what if we just see them kill that knight, they hide the armor, and then Dane Whitman gets it? Like, what if they do that? But they're going in a different direction, and we'll talk about that direction, because it's awesome, and I kind of lost it in the theater. So, moving into spoilers. I'm now getting into spoilers for Eternals. You've been warned if you've... It only proceed if you've seen the movie or if you just don't care. Giving you guys plenty of time. Because I don't want to ruin things that happen in this movie. Alright. I'm assuming that you're gone now if you've... go see Eternals. Please go see Eternals. This is a great movie. But you might not think so. You might not think so. So... let's talk about it. Full spoiler time. The choice that I was referring to was Icarus flying into the sun. There are some things that I, in this movie where I laughed out loud. Where I laughed a lot. And now I can talk about more into the specifics. I can get in, like, the nitty-gritty of what I didn't like. Because there are some choices in this movie that I don't like. That I don't like the direction that they went with them. And one of them has to do with Sprite. But I thought that that Icarus's choice was so incredibly, like, out of left field. I just don't think that was necessary. And also, I don't really... I didn't really like why Sprite sort of switched sides. I understand why she did it. I understand why. I think it would have been a whole lot better. I think it would have been so much better if sort of Sprite had a vision from Arishem, which I understand why, you know, they couldn't do this. Oh, also with Icarus. Sorry, I'm jumping around a lot because my thoughts are all scattered. I don't have notes for this episode, but I will for Sunday. Icarus, there are, you know, as we know, there are multiple versions of these characters. There are multiple versions of these characters. So, it, you know, they could find a new Richard Madden. Wouldn't be the same Icarus, but it would still be Richard Madden. Could get Richard Madden back. I thought Richard Madden was great in this movie. I love the scene when they're in London toward the beginning, where he's with Dane, and it's like it's the Stark brothers. It's the Stark brothers. They're back. So that was super fun. That was super, super fun. Now, if Sprite got a vision from Arishem, and I don't think they could have done this with how they set up the communications with Arishem. If they had that, like, if they didn't have that, and it was like Arishem chooses the Eternal that he speaks to. He could have spoken to Spartan and was like, if you fight for me and complete my will and let, what was the name again? Like, Tidium? Was that what it was? The new Celestial? Then you can have a mortal life. I feel like if they'd done that, that would have been a lot better. It would have been a lot better. But yeah, that was a choice I really didn't like. Really, really did not like that. Another thing is sort of, I guess the one character I met that didn't really get the development was Ajak, because she's just the leader. And they try to give, Chloe Zhao tried to give Ajak a meaningful arc after she already died in the movie. And I just don't think that's something you can do. I don't think you can do that because the character's dead. We don't really care at that point. So this movie that's like sort of all over the place for me, where now that I'm actually can like sit down and process it, there are a lot of things that I really love and a lot of things I really didn't like all that much. The pros far outweigh the cons. They far outweigh the cons that I have. Another thing, I don't know if you guys saw this Easter egg, toward the beginning of the movie when we first see Cersei in London. If you look sort of at the top of that news screen, you sort of get like a message from the Global Repatriation Council, the GRC from the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. You see that and it's great. It's like, oh, that's the thing. That's the thing from the thing. So I thought that was super fun. Speaking of Easter eggs and little nods and references. First, this is the first Marvel movie to not have a pre-existing character. I'm just thinking about that. Every character in this movie is brand new. Every character. Because, you can remove sequels from this. You can remove Avengers movies from this. Because they all have, you know, because it's a sequel by definition. It has similar characters. It has recycled characters. And same with Avengers movies. And by recycled, I just mean, like, they're from this thing. Now they're in that thing. But Iron Man, obviously, it's the first one. There are no pre-existing characters. The Incredible Hulk has Tony Stark at the very end. Thor has Phil Coulson and others. Captain America the First Avenger has Nick Fury and some others. Guardians of the Galaxy has the other and Thanos. Ant-Man has Sam Wilson, the Falcon, now Captain America. Doctor Strange has Thor. Spider-Man Homecoming has Tony Stark. And Spider-Man, obviously. Black Panther has Black Panther. And Winter Soldier. Captain Marvel has Nick Fury and Coulson. You got those guys in post-credit scenes. Black Widow, obviously got Black Widow. Shang-Chi, you got Wong. Abomination, others. And then, obviously, the three shows you got have been spinoffs. And What If is, I mean, I guess What If could be considered all new, but it just variants, so, you know. But yeah, but this is the first movie since Iron Man did not have any pre-existing characters. And I didn't notice. But anyway. The DC universe exists in the MCU. they exist in the MCU. Like, I'm not talking the characters, but the comics and the world, because Gilgamesh was like, oh, so he's like the Alfred to your Batman. Just like, kind of. I mean, it's usually Robin to your Batman, but you know, it's different and it works really well. It's different and it works really, really well. And then there's the reference Fastos, when we meet Fastos and his family. And I'll just talk about that too, because I love that. When we see Fastos and his family, his son's like, Daddy, that's Superman. It's cape and lasers. And then Icarus goes, I don't have a cape. And the Fast is like, do I call you Clark now? It's like, that is Superman. So I thought that was really, really funny. And this movie just doesn't feel like a Marvel movie to me. It doesn't feel like an MCU movie. And I'll tell you, that is something I really love. This movie does not feel like a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. It feels like its own unique, separate thing. And I cannot commend it on that enough. I think that this movie and Shang-Chi and WandaVision have been a really great breath of fresh air. Because I feel, and WandaVision and Shang-Chi mostly from a fan perspective, and we'll see what the fan response is on Rotten Tomatoes for Eternals tomorrow. But they've all sort of infused the MCU with new energy and ideas that we'd never seen before and we never thought that we would see. Like, this movie is as epic as The Lord of the Rings. It's nowhere near as good as Lord of the Rings. Like, I still don't know if I would have this in my top 10 for the MCU. It doesn't touch my top three. To top three in this order, you got at number three, you got Shang-Chi. Number two, you got Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And at number one, you got Spider-Man Homecoming. Doesn't touch those three, but it's really good. This is a really good movie. I'm really trying to think about if I have anything else to say right now, and I don't think I really do. Let's talk about Fastos for a second. I was very worried with Fastos and his family. I was really worried that it was going to feel forced, and it doesn't. It feels so incredibly real. It feels that moment when he and Ajak are in Hiroshima, and you can just see everything that he believes in just vanish. When he saw what his weapons did, it reminds me a lot of Tony Stark. A lot like Tony Stark. And then we see him fall in love with humanity again. We didn't actually see. There's like a 3-hour cut of this movie where it's got like more stuff with Fastos and it has more stuff with Ajak. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see that on the Blu-ray. Like, I really want to see. And I don't think this movie needs a release the Zao cut. I don't think it needs that. But this is a movie that would benefit from deleted scenes. It's also a very long movie. And I don't feel like the deviants were necessary. The deviants were completely unnecessary. They were not needed whatsoever in this film. Other than just, like, to set up the mission, they kill them in the 1500s, and then they're gone. I think this is a movie that works so much better if it's just them. They have to come together to fight Arishem. Just leave the deviants out of it. Because everything else works so incredibly well, and I feel like the deviants just bring this movie down. It just brings it so far down for me. Because the deviants, I don't want them to be part of this movie, but they are, and I have to grade it on that. So, I really think that's all my real thoughts on Eternals. I'm very interested to know what you guys think of this movie. I'm very interested to know. So, please let me know. You can send in an email, anothermarvelpodcast@gmail.com, at anothermarvelp1 on Twitter. I really, truly want to know what you guys think of Eternals. Please leave a 5-star review on the podcast. It really does help out the show when you do that. And especially with the movie coming out this weekend, a lot of people are going to be finding the podcast for the very first time. We're going to have the full review on Sunday when I have the chance to see it again. Take notes. Yeah, it's like 11 o'clock now. I'm super tired. So thank you guys all so much for listening. Leave a 5-star review. Twitter is at anothermarvelp1. Oh, if you are a Star Wars fan, go and check out Tuscan Radio. We're making our way through Star Wars movies, and we got to talk about the Clone Wars movie this weekend, because that's a movie that exists, so we're going to be covering that on Tuscan Radio. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. I'm Drew Gretsch. Eternals assemble. His accent was great. I loved the Irish accents in this movie.